Hello, Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. We've been away for a couple of weeks, or been away for a week. Last week we were up in Edinburgh for my mum's 80th, and the week before it was a parade service done by the Boys Brigade. So it's been a couple of weeks since we've done a recording, so it's good to reconnect with the cyber congregation out there who listen online. Let's now offer this to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we come here to worship, I pray for those who are listening online or listening to CDs in their homes, that you would draw near to them, that you would speak to them through your word, that you would minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's also the first Sunday of the month, which traditionally is a communion service. So we're going to have communion with bread and wine, or the equivalent. So if you want to be involved in that, then you can press pause and go and get some bread or wine or juice. So you can participate in the communion, which is open to anyone who wants to participate in that. Jody's going to bring the reading, which is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through to chapter 5. Verse 2.
It's headed Instructions for Christian Living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. For anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Amen. Thank you for that reading, Jody. And let us pray. Father, as we reflect upon your word and seek to apply it to our lives, send your Holy Spirit that this word may be a living word which speaks to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're now have entered into the season of Lent. Last Sunday was the first Sunday in Lent, and this is now the second Sunday, and we're journeying through Lent towards Easter. And this week we're looking at forgiveness and community, exploring what it means to be forgiven by God, and consequently what that forgiveness looks like in our relationships with each other and in our church community. In verse 32, Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we have already been forgiven. The forgiveness talked about here is in the past tense. We've been forgiven by God in Christ. But we need to model that forgiveness in kindness and compassion towards each other. First of all, we need to know that forgiveness for ourselves, because if we haven't received or experienced God's forgiveness in Christ, then we can't give what we haven't received in the first place. Do you know that forgiveness? Have you turned to Christ at some point to receive his forgiveness? It is there for absolutely everyone. Christ died for all without exception. But not all people live in the blessing of knowing themselves loved, accepted, and forgiven. If you feel unsure about your status of forgiveness, then have a word with me or one of the deacons and we can pray with and for you about that. To look at things more collectively or in the context of our church family, what can stop forgiveness flowing in and through us? When I was reflecting on this passage, anger comes up more than once. Anger can be a big problem. We get angry with each other for various reasons. In verse 26 and 27, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." The New Revised Standard Version says, "Be angry, but don't sin." Paul recognizes that we will get angry. He's a realist. He's not encouraging us to be angry, but he's saying when you get angry with people, you need to know what to do with your anger. Don't let the sun go down on it. We need to approach people and talk with them in a gentle, loving fashion. Otherwise, we're in danger of giving the devil a foothold in our lives, because that anger can easily turn into bitterness. Paul says in verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice." So the importance here of striving to rid ourselves of any potential bitterness, because we can nurse our wrath and it can grow and fester. I'm reminding of the film Amadeus, which is about the young Mozart, where we have a fellow composer, Antonio Salieri, who envies Mozart, and that turns into a hatred and a bitterness, which ultimately ends up in him turning against God. Our anger, which can stem from many sources and many reasons, can turn us against God in the end if we're not careful. There are occasions when it is right to be angry. We think of Jesus being angry at the money changers in the temple, or angry at the scribes and the Pharisees when they laid heavy burdens upon the common people. Or it's right to be angry when we see the weak and the oppressed being abused. Or perhaps in the midst of our grief, we can be angry at the loss of a loved one. But a lot of our anger isn't like that. It can be petty. I'll give you a little domestic example from my own situation. This Thursday, Jodie was out at Girls Brigade and I was at home, and I was walking from the lounge through to the kitchen, but there was no light on. So I walked through and I tripped over the Hoover and banged my knees and stubbed my toe, and it was quite painful. And in that moment, I was angry with Jodie for leaving the Hoover in that place. But I didn't stay angry with her. I didn't nurse that anger. It was partly my fault. I shouldn't have been walking around in the dark anyway. But I realized there's no point in staying angry. Although I have been angry also because Jodie's had some more headaches this week, and that makes me angry when you see someone you love suffer. But when we have anger, I think it helps to go to God with our anger and go to the root of the problem, to express how we feel to God and see if he calls us to do something about that anger. Sometimes the very fact of expressing that anger to God is enough, and it dissipates and it lessens. But sometimes there's a real reality to our anger and we need to do something about it. For me and for you as a church congregation, there's a lot of emotion flowing about at the moment. And perhaps some anger. Anger at me and Jodie for leaving in difficult and uncertain times. I can feel anger, perhaps at the way people express themselves at church meetings or the way that we treat each other. In the coming weeks, I want to say my goodbyes well and to leave on good terms. But leaving and moving is a stressful time, and we need to be gentle with each other. And I need to be reminded, as you do, of what Paul says at the end of this passage, where he says in verse 1, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We are called to walk in the way of love and to follow God's example, to imitate God in his forgiveness and his love, following the example of our Lord Jesus. So I would ask you to forgive me for the ways that I have fallen short as a pastor and a fellow disciple during my 9 years here. And I will strive to do the same for you, because whether we are in Moulton or North Shields or any other part of the world, we are all, as Paul says in verse 25, members of one body, and we are still connected to each other, even though we may not see each other as much. But one day we will all be reunited in God's nearer presence, so we might as well get used to loving each other here on earth, because it's something we have to do throughout all eternity. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to appreciate the reality of our forgiveness, that we can live out of the flow of that forgiveness in our own lives and offer it to others, knowing that we are forgiven people. It means we in turn are able to forgive others when they make us angry and when we fall out and clash for different reasons. but may your peace rule in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's move now into a time of communion. So if you don't have your bread and your wine ready, just stop and rejoin us when you want to. So let's just gather in God's presence. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's turn to the Lord in confession. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess to you now that we have sinned. We confess the sins that no one knows, and the sins that everyone knows, the sins that are a burden to us, and the sins that do not bother us because we have got used to them. We confess our sins as a church. We have not loved one another as Christ loved us. We have not given ourselves in love and service for the world as Christ gave himself for us. Forgive us. Send your Holy Spirit to us, that he may give us power to live as by your mercy you have called us to live. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's listen now to the familiar words of the Last Supper, as passed down to us from the Apostle Paul. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we likewise do the same. Father, as we gather around the table of our Lord, we remember him. We give thanks for his life of love, of teaching about your kingdom, of healing, of setting people free. We thank you that his faithfulness to you took him all the way to the cross to die for us, that we might be reconciled to you. And we thank you that his life did not end in failure, that you raised him to life, and now he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Father God, send down your Holy Spirit upon us, your people, and upon this bread and wine, that as we eat it, we may be infused with your divine life and empowered to live for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." So let's take our bread and share. Jody, body of Christ, broken for you. Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you and for all. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." So take your wine and share. Blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope that you have set before us so that we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we are gathered around the table, it's good to pray and to remember others in our church family, in our communities, and throughout the world. So let us pray, and there'll be moments of silence for your prayers. God of love, we pray for our world, which so often puts faith in things it cannot save, in armaments and strike power. We pray for in the acquisition of land or wealth. We pray for in the superiority of race or philosophy. We pray for God of love, help us to put our faith in you alone, that the world may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. God of love, we pray for the church, which so often puts faith in things that cannot save, in the outward appearance of religion and in social respectability. In the giving from what we have, but not the giving of what we are. In rigid beliefs, correct interpretations, and a sense of belonging to the group. God of love, help us to put our faith in you alone, that the church may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. God of love, we pray for ourselves as we struggle to put our faith in your saving love in times of sickness, bereavement, or anxiety. We pray for in times of doubt, confusion, or depression. We pray for in times when we are too busy and distracted to find space for you. God of love, help us to put our faith in you alone, that we may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. And in a moment of silence, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, your gracious and costly gift of love for the world, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and I'll close with a Lenten blessing. Let us pray. Be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Go well, and God bless.